I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Shalom, and welcome to the Everlasting Nation Broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions in Hickson, Tennessee. Now here's your host, IBJM Ministries Director, John Lawrence.
Greetings to our listening audience, and welcome to our program today. I'm John Lawrence, the Director of Ministries here at the International Board of Jewish Missions. I am wanting to share with you today a little bit of information about our annual four-day focus on Jewish missions. The four-day focus takes place in June of every year, usually later in the month. This year it is June 22nd through June 25th, 2015. So we would like to invite you to consider attending the focus. It is a training program in Jewish evangelism and also for Jewish missions. Many of our missionaries who are with us today first made contact with IBJM through the four-day focus. It's a place where you can just learn more about Jewish missions and evangelism to be a better witness to Jewish people in your own community through your own local church. Or it's also a place where you can actually explore a call that the Lord might place on your life into Jewish missions. Now, during the 4 days, we have a whole program of events, and it's focused on learning how to evangelize Jewish people. We do share with you some global missionary opportunities in Jewish communities around the world. There's an emphasis, too, on Jewish customs and culture. And, of course, we show you different things like how to lead a Jewish person to the Lord, show them the plan of salvation in the Old Testament. And we have a number of videos during the course of the week, and we also have a Passover demonstration and other things of that kind. We have sessions on discipling new Jewish believers, integrating them into the local church, and we have some history on anti-Semitism and history of modern Israel and various things of that nature as well. We have good food during the week. For one single registration fee, we will provide you lodging and all of your meals for the week, and also the program with a very nice notebook and notes from all the speakers. Our special speakers are this year Howard Rothenberg, who's one of our missionaries down in South Florida. He is a Jewish believer, and he will be our main speaker for the week. Then we're also having Brother Sam Wilson, who is our regional coordinator for the Middle East and Eastern Europe, and he'll be speaking as well. We have Jackie Powell. She comes from the Society for the Distribution of the Hebrew Scriptures, and they provide us bilingual Bibles with Hebrew and other languages to share with Jewish people. We have other of our staff and missionaries here who will also be on the program. So we'd like you to come. This will be a great opportunity to learn how to witness to your Jewish friends. And maybe, who knows, the Lord might call you into Jewish missions yourself. You may call us here at area code 423-876-8150 in order to find out more information, to order a brochure and have it sent to you. Then our secretaries will be able to share with you the price for a couple or the price for an individual. The program starts on Monday morning and lasts through Thursday afternoon. We have some fellowship time. We have a picnic on Tuesday evening where we have testimonies, and part of the program during the week is also having several of our missionaries who are with us. They will share with you their ministry and how they've gone about ministering to Jewish people in various places around the world. Some of them are here in the United States. Others are on foreign fields. We will share with you how they have gone about not only just witnessing to Jewish people, but actually planting churches in Jewish communities as well. A number of our missionaries right now are involved in planting churches in places like New York City, in Israel, in Australia, in France, and various places like that around the world. So if you have never attended a program like this, why not plan to join us for that week? That, again, is June 22nd through June 25th, 2015, and we will be happy to send you more information. If you will call us at area code 423-876-8150. Hope to see you there. Now let's join Brother Mark Oshman with our Bible study for today.
Thank you for joining our radio Bible study. Today, we'll look at the Feast of Unleavened Bread. According to the 16th chapter of Deuteronomy, God told the Israelites, quote, "Three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God, in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles." In addition, he commanded them to bring the first fruits of their harvest. The first three celebrations mentioned occurred in the spring. The final holiday, the Feast of Tabernacles, was during the autumn season. On all of these occasions, God required the Jewish people to make offerings to him. Some Bible students confuse the Feast of Unleavened Bread with the Passover. For example, in Mark chapter 14, the author wrote that the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread was when families killed the Passover lamb, an event that actually took place on the evening of the Passover. Luke did the same thing, by the way, in the 22nd chapter of his gospel. However, in 2 Chronicles chapter 35, the author clearly differentiated between the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Though the two celebrations were interrelated, they weren't identical. The Passover was a single-day celebration. It began on the 14th day of the Jewish month Nisan. The Feast of Unleavened Bread immediately followed the Passover. It lasted for 7 days, beginning on the 15th day of Nisan. Before the Jews departed Egypt, God directed them not to use leaven or yeast when baking their bread. Every time they commemorated the Passover, the Jews were to eat only unleavened bread with their meals. Anyone who baked bread containing leaven would, in God's words, be cut off from the community. The Jewish people celebrated the Feast of Unleavened Bread during the reign of King Hezekiah of Judah. They also marked this holiday during Ezra's time, when they returned from captivity in Babylon. Paul explained the symbolism behind this feast to the church at Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul criticized their tolerance for a church member who was living in open sin. Paul exhorted them to expel the erring brethren from the congregation. "Your glorying is not good," he told them. Then he posed the question to the group, "Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" Leaven, that is to say yeast, served as an agent of fermentation. When baking dough into bread, the decomposition of leaven released a gas. This process of decay caused the mixture to expand. Because of the way leaven operated, it served as a means of illustrating how sin permeates an entity. God forbade the Jews to include leaven in their meat offerings, burnt offerings, or trespass offerings. Perhaps this served as an object lesson to them about the sin that would be involved in using leaven and those things that were holy. The same picture of leaven can be found in the New Testament as well. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus Christ presented a parable about the kingdom of heaven. He incorporated the image of a woman adding leaven as she made bread. Understanding the chemical process involved in decomposing yeast helps explain the meaning of that narrative. Jesus Christ wasn't forecasting the growth of his church. He was indeed foretelling its ultimate corruption by sin. Paul continued with his metaphorical use of leaven as a vehicle for motivating the Corinthian Christians to take action. "Purge ye out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened." Paul alluded to the Jewish practice of removing leaven from the household before eating the Passover supper. His reference to Christ, our Passover, being sacrificed pointed his readers back to the 12th chapter of Exodus. The Passover lamb had to be without any physical blemish, foreshadowing Jesus Christ, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The apostle concluded his exhortation to the church at Corinth with these words, quote, "Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." What lesson did he try to convey with these words? Believers should refuse to allow sin to spread through their lives, as yeast spreads through dough. They should continually keep their own Feast of Unleavened Bread. During the Passover meal, the people around the Passover table four times drink cups containing the fruit of the vine. The traditional contents of the Passover beverage consisted of unfermented grape juice. The actions of Jesus Christ during the Last Supper confirm this interpretation. When he celebrated the Passover with his disciples, Jesus Christ alluded to the beverage as, quote, the cup, unquote, not as wine. He declared, quote, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you, unquote. The blood of Jesus Christ was free from moral taint, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Wine, on the other hand, results from a process known as fermentation. The sugar in grape juice undergoes a chemical change which turns it into alcohol. Using fermented grape juice would destroy the typology of the blood of Jesus Christ being without blemish and without spot. Therefore, the word wine here described a non-alcoholic form of grape juice, namely the true fruit of the vine. Those Jews seated around the Passover table partook of the cups on four separate occasions. Each of these cups represented some aspect of Jesus Christ's work. Jews referred to the first cup of Passover as the cup of sanctification. The basic meaning of the word sanctify is set apart. Jewish people still remember that God set them apart as his peculiar treasure. As God reminded them, quote, this people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise, unquote. The cup of sanctification depicts the Savior as the one who sets his people apart unto himself. In John chapter 17, before his crucifixion, Jesus Christ prayed to his Father. He asked them to sanctify his disciples. Just as God intended the Jews to serve him as a holy nation, God also wants Christians to minister on his behalf as a separated people. The cup of judgment is the second cup served during the Passover meal. The Jews at the Passover table remember God's plagues upon the land of Egypt. It reminds them that a righteous and sovereign God must punish transgressors. The cup of judgment foreshadows Jesus Christ's role as judge of the world. David wrote that God shall judge the world in righteousness, and he shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. As Paul told the Athenians on Mars Hill, Acts chapter 17, Jesus Christ is the one who will judge the world in all righteousness. The Savior himself declared that his Father had committed all judgment unto him. Jews allude to the third cup in the Passover meal as the cup of redemption. God redeemed the Jews from bondage and unto his service. They not only functioned as God's firstborn son, they were his servants as well. God likewise redeemed Christians from the bondage of sin unto his service through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Because of this redemption, believers no longer need to allow sin to have dominion over their bodies. God is now their master, not the devil. The cup of the kingdom is the term that the Jews used to refer to the fourth and final cup of the Passover meal. The Jewish people look forward to the coming of Elijah as a predecessor to their Messiah. This was foretold in the Old Testament by the prophet Malachi. Jews don't realize, however, that this prophecy found its fulfillment in John the Baptist, who would go forth, in the words of Luke, quote, in the spirit and power of Elias, unquote. Jesus Christ himself confirmed that John the Baptist fulfilled Malachi's prophecy. John the Baptist's ministry, in his own words, involved making straight the way of the Lord. He served as an emissary to herald the advent of Israel's promised king. Thus, whenever a Jewish family celebrates the Passover meal, the four cups that they drink send them messages. Jesus Christ is the sanctifier, the judge, the redeemer, and the coming king. God thereby left himself a witness of his son's ministry amongst the Jewish people, a witness which they reenact every year in the Passover meal. Thank you for tuning into our radio program. We invite you to come and continue to listen to our radio broadcast.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can write us at P.O. Box 1386, Hickson, Tennessee, 37343, or call us at 423-876-8150, or you may also go online at ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.